Just an hour and a half ago, I was sitting in this little cottage here by the Pacific. Sounded like a typhoon outside. It wasn't. It was just the natural air conditioning of the Pacific Ocean. And there were planes going all over, one after another. I knew there'd be an oasis in here somewhere where we could do this tape. And as I dwelt in the quiet, I must tell you, I really let go of this me. I didn't try to get rid of the planes or the typhoon or the air conditioning of the Pacific. There is no me. That's the only truth that's true. Everything else is ridiculous. We don't want secondary truths and relative truths. Get right to the core. There is no me. And oh, that blessed feeling when all of the things that are attacking me have no one to attack. No one. It all falls away and leaves you in the peace which rises until you know you are in your holy self. That meditation, there is no me. Oh, if you could do that every morning. Before going to the farm and the merchandise. Before anything. Maybe if you can't do it, just put the tape right at the point where we started this meditation and do it that way. Just have it ready at night, and when you wake up in the morning, go out there in the living room where no one will be disturbed, or if you live alone, put it by your bedside. Put it somewhere where you can disturb no one. Push the button, sit back, and join in with the knowledge that there is no me until you feel that great release. You won't be fooling yourself. You'll be accepting that you are made in the image of God. And that is me, this flesh. We can pause a little.
Understand the meaning behind the virgin birth. All they know is that it was an amazing event, which it was. And just as amazing was the fact that 700 years before the child appeared to Mary, Isaiah prophesied that a virgin woman, well, actually he didn't use the word woman, that's the point. He prophesied that a virgin, and I would like you to see that the word woman wasn't there. He prophesied that a virgin would conceive and bear a son, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And it happened. Now, everyone believes that the virgin was Mary, because everybody believes that the virgin had to be a woman. But the Virgin, conceiving the Son, was not the physical form called Mary. And that's the secret behind the virgin birth that we're now ready to discuss. Mary is a symbol of the soul. The Old Testament is the mind, the brain universe, which man has not stepped out of yet. Mary is a symbol of the New Testament, of the soul universe, which man is vaguely learning to step into. The soul is the virgin. A virgin because it's unused so far by man. The soul conceives and bears a son. The soul is impregnated by the spirit. And this is shown in the visible world as Mary bearing the child. Isaiah didn't foresee Mary bearing the child. Isaiah saw the marriage of soul and spirit. It had nothing to do with Mary and Jesus. And so he said the son would be named Emmanuel, God with us, because the marriage of soul and spirit proves that human life is not the beginning of life, that life begins in God. Life begins in spirit. And this, which appears visibly as Jesus the Christ, could not appear without a father unless God is visibly present. And that's why the child's name Emmanuel means God with us. It is the proof God is with us. And so Mary, the symbol of your soul, perceives the spiritual origin of life, perceives that God is with us. And it is this pure perception of spiritual identity which is made manifest. This is the virgin birth, which always results in the realization that I am the Holy Self. When you accept the reliability of Scripture, which says you are made in the image of God, and then you proceed to live out from this intelligence, knowing that there is no physical me, thus building your wedding garment, your soul capacity finally develops the soul body, which is infinite, which is eternal, which never knows death. And you are born of a virgin, born of your own soul. And so the Savior is not the child. The Savior is not that physical child at all. The Savior is the Spirit within, manifesting to human sense as the child. God within us, God within you, is the Savior, ever present. And this is the cornerstone that man has rejected by ignorance, by false teaching, and by turning away from the real, the only true meaning of Christianity. God with us is the presence of the Spirit of God
as the substance of your being always, whether you know it or not, but active in your consciousness only when you do know it. Every time that you acknowledge there is no me, there is only the Spirit of God, which is God with us, God with the I that I am. When you acknowledge this, you cannot acknowledge the opposite. And so your choice is there a me or is God with us? Because God with us is not in a physical self. Mary had to know God was not in her physical self. Mary had to know I am the Spirit of God. And when you acknowledge God with you as your spirit self, your holy self, your only self, you are recognizing the only Savior there is. And then the impartation that you receive is the holy oil, the power, and the holy water, the wisdom of your own holy self. Because it has dominion over the imagined world of matter. By misinterpreting this nativity of Jesus as a miraculous event rather than a revelation that only spiritual man is made in the image of God, we have deprived ourselves of our own spiritual heritage. We have failed to recognize our own spiritual conception. And we have fallen victim to that which the Bible calls devil, but which really means the brain of the world brain. That's all Satan or devil ever meant. It's amazing that religion has perpetuated this devil notion without realizing that devil means the brain. Because it turns away from God, from spirit. All of our human concepts that come from the brain, to which we become accustomed, and some of which we cherish, are things that we cling to because we know no other. And when we try to rise above these cherished concepts, we feel on unfamiliar ground. But Mary was on unfamiliar ground. Whenever we enter the spiritual sanctuary within and are given inner truth, it's more normal and natural because the brain is not in that sanctuary to form a conflict. When we try to reason high truth with the brain, there is a conflict. The brain won't allow us to contradict the concepts of the brain. For instance, the brain will not agree that human life is a brain experience, that the human body exists only in the brain, or that the world exists only in the brain. But when you're in spirit, you know this. The brain doesn't like to hear that when the brain dies, the body dies. But it does because the brain is the body. The body exists only as an image in the brain. Our vaunted brain power is rather impotent at times. Actually, it's incapable of controlling our bodies in spite of how proud we are of our brains. I think our friend Hubert Humphrey has a pretty good brain. but his brain can't control his body. And there are many great men who find that their brain cannot protect their bodies, even though they're great brains. I need not remind you that ultimately every human brain fails. It may do wonderful things, but it ultimately has to die, and sometimes prematurely. And this should have been a sign to us that the human brain is not of God. But it has posed as if it came from God. It has fooled us. It has deceived us. Imagine a brain from God having a brain stroke or a cerebral hemorrhage. Think of all the other, the countless brain diseases. And we still have been fooled into thinking this human brain is from God. God made nothing material. And yet we take this brain, which cannot protect the human body unless everybody either be sick, suffering, diseased, or dying or dead. And to this ever-dying, ever-perishing brain, we entrust all of the major decisions of our lives. Nobody ever taught us that when we rely on a human brain, we are cut off from God. And if you haven't realized that, give it some thought, soul thought. The human brain is where we separate from God. God cannot speak to and through a human brain. There's no way. God only speaks to the Christ mind. The voice of God is never heard by the human brain. It's only heard by your soul. The illusions of life are all in the brain. The good illusions as well as the bad ones. We call them good and bad, but illusion is illusion is illusion. Some of our happiest illusions are in the brain. Some of our greatest needs are in the brain. For instance, the brain says, we need money. We need supply. We need healing. We need a home. We need companionship. These are the necessities of this world. And so the brain follows its own self-created opinions. It follows its own will. It follows its own authority. And it follows its own ego. And then it commits itself and our bodies and our energies and our emotions and our hopes and our desires and everything we are humanly to the false image of flesh, securing the money, the home, the companionship, the food, the rent, the security. Maybe the wealth. But never accepting the Holy Self made in the image of God. Because the brain cannot do that. The brain has to die for us to do that. And the brain says, not me. I'll die before I die. No, that brain is going to stand there. It's going to say to God, you made me. It's your problem, not mine. And we're going to think that we're hearing the truth. The brain is not made in the image of God. That's why it suffers. That's why it denies that spirit is all. That's why it denies that spiritual sonship is all. That's why it denies the Father's word that spirit alone is life and that the flesh profiteth nothing. That's why it adulterates truth. And so we all have the same kind of misperception because the human brain will never accept the true nature of spirit as God with us without material opposite, without a human brain. So you're stuck with a human brain, and Scripture tells you that you're made in the image of God. And the brain which dies is not made in the image of God. The question is, what do you plan to do about it? Well, we can continue living in the human brain. It was born into time and it lives in time. It changes us in time. It deceives us in time. And finally, it kills us in time. And we can continue to live in that human brain if we wish to. But it would help to know that the human brain is not equipped. It has no equipment whatsoever to live in the now center, which receives the power, the wisdom, and the grace of God. And as long as you live in that human brain, you can kiss grace, power, and wisdom of God goodbye. There's no way it can reach you. There's no contact between a human brain and God with us. That's why all flesh is grass. There are so many things that we do because the human brain thinks it's right. Without once having permitted the one ray of light to come through that brain and veto the needs, desires, plans, and ambitions and status seeking of that brain. I'm going to remind you that until There Is No Me becomes a daily meditation with you, this brain is going to fool you in many ways. It has very, very strange ways of fooling you. Sometimes from places you least expect and in ways you least expect. I just read a book. And the author speaks of the migration of birds from the north to the south during cold weather. The author says this is a sign of divine love. Then the author speaks of orange trees, which beget oranges, and apple trees that beget apples, and other fruit trees that beget other fruits. And again says this is another sign of divine love. And I have to take exception with this book and this author. Because 10 years ago, when you were in maybe your second or third year of studying Infinite Way Truth, this might have been a nice thing to hear. It might have given you some feeling about order in the universe, but why do we want facts about the world that is not the kingdom of God to authenticate the truth of the spiritual world? And above all, why do we want truth of this world, which can never really be true? If, for example, the fruit tree is an expression of divine love, then what are we going to say about the divine love that permits a flood or a winter frost to kill a whole crop of fruit trees? Why doesn't the same divine love prevent that, if it is expressing through the fruit tree as the law of one begetting like? And if divine love is leading birds from cold weather to warmer weather, who made this weather? Why does divine love make hot weather and cold weather, or does divine love make any weather at all? For instance, why does divine love permit thousands of birds to die in a polluted atmosphere, and many species of birds to become extinct? Where's the divine love there? And if you see what I'm getting at, the human brain has a way of seeking a corporeal man to do business with. It only sees corporeality. It sees a corporeal bird, and it sees a corporeal fruit tree. And this material thinking then attempts to connect good material action in some way with divine law. But it's also a rejection of the Son of God, who lives only in the spiritual kingdom. We have passed the need for little homilies of this world. They will not stand up. They will not take us where we are going. They will only give us a false feeling of an order that does not exist. Spirit is never hot weather. Spirit is never cold weather. Weather exists only in the world mind and is then reflected in the human brain. Spirit is never evil. Never evil. Then where is it? Where is the evil? Always in the human brain. First in the world mind, then in the human brain. Spirit is light. And spirit is no darkness at all. Now that's scripture. Scripture's reliable. What God is doing in scripture in the year one, God is doing in the year 1977. Truth is forever. And therefore, evil in all its forms must be a lie, a mirage, forever. Spirit is all. Spirit is all. Now, where is the material world? It's in the world brain, and then in the human brain. Spiritual man, not physical man, is made in the image of God. And our truth to that, so that there is no second man, is the secret of salvation. That's not the only truth contained in the book of Genesis. God did not make physical waters. God did not make a physical heaven. God did not make physical dry land, grass, seed, fruit trees, moon, sun, stars. God did not make heavenly bodies, whales, fish, fowl, or birds. Oh, the human brain aches to hear that, doesn't it? But spirit is all. Scripture is reliable. When God said, "Let there be beasts in the field," God wasn't talking about the physical beasts we see. When God said, "Let there be water, let there be light," God wasn't talking about the light we see and the water we see, any more than when God said, "Let man be made in our image," God was saying, talking about a physical man. The spiritual creation was being presented to us in word form with a veil on it, because there was no other way to present it 4,000 years ago. Consciousness unfolds as its own invisible ideas, manifesting those ideas. And they are present everywhere. And I tell you that spirit is all, because God is all, and God is spirit. And the knowledge of this truth contains more power than all of the plutonium on Earth. If Mary had been thinking of matter, she would have been under material law. She wouldn't have reversed material law. How can the angel of the Lord come to a human brain that God didn't make? You could only come to your soul. If Mary had been material-minded, the birth of Christ could never have expressed through her consciousness. She could not have demonstrated God with us. If Abraham had been material-minded, he wouldn't have looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God, Spirit. And yet by faith he went out. Not knowing. Yet he went out. If Paul had not experienced the perfect power of his own holy self, could he have told his students that he was leading them to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels? Somewhere, the consciousness of man turned away. It has not been following Scripture. It has not been following Abraham or Mary or Christ Jesus or Paul. You can let your eye roam over the world and you can't find a single government on earth that is based upon the spiritual teaching of the Bible. Wherever you look, from Rhodesia to Russia, Cyprus to Cuba, Pakistan to Poland, or the United Kingdom to the United States, you're looking at government by the human brain. The brain that God never created. You're looking at government by the scientific brain. The industrial brain. The religious brain. Government by the brain that is spiritually blind. Government by the brain that is born into time and dies in time And that brain is murdering mankind. The current rate of mortality is 60 million persons per year. 60 million images of God per year? Never. It is through the human brain that the world mind is torturing mankind with 1,000 mirages. We call them drought, forest fires and floods and heat and heart attacks and brain strokes and malignancies, and finally we call it rigor mortis. The statistics about our arms budget is, well, just beyond belief. Collective brain of mankind has spent $300 billion just last year. $300 billion last year to arm the military forces of the world. Do you think that brain was made by God? The United States already has enough H-bombs to put man back into the Stone Age. And if we run out, we can count on Russia to supply the rest. There are more than 200 nuclear reactors now operating in 22 different countries around the world. And three times that number of reactors is scheduled to operate in 45 countries, all within the next 10 years. Does the human brain have an answer to that? How can it? The human brain is what did it. If it had an answer, would it have done it? There's only one answer. It's not in the human brain. The answer will be found only in that man who is made in the image of God. Because that man is the answer. And that man is your holy self. Now, you could write textbooks from now till doomsday. You could have television discussions. You could have great authors and great lecturers. You could have all kinds of ideas promulgated by authorities all over the world. But the answer will only come from the Holy Self. And inasmuch as you can't put the Holy Self in the foreground of every individual consciousness, you have to start where you are, the place whereon thou stand. That is your contribution. That is your responsibility. That is your opportunity. It is also your salvation. I think the time for theories is over. And I think the time for human authorities is long gone. I think the time for every discussion is part of history. No more room for it in our consciousness. Let the world have its theories and authorities and discussions. We are putting on the new man, which after God is created, in righteousness and in true holiness. We are leaving all material concepts, including the human sense of self, We are entering what Paul called the newness of life. In the eternal, holy body. I think what we need is a structured awareness. Something which allows us to move in the spiritual way of life from the moment we awaken, without any gaps between the awakening moment and the conscious awareness of reality. And thus we awaken to the Christ mind, we awaken to the human brain. Now, I have synthesized many thoughts into one phrase, which I find not only pertinent, but indispensable. First, I'd like to trace the genealogy of this idea so that you can see it in its parts before you see it in its wholeness. And we'll just start off with this thought: the world is not there. Only the kingdom of God is there. But somehow you can see the world of God's creation. You can only see the world of your mind's creation. And so what you're looking at is something that isn't there. Absolutely nothing that you see is there. Doesn't matter what it is or who it is. It's not there. Because only spirit is there. Whether it's good to the eye or bad to the eye, it's not there. Then what is it? Well, it's your thought. All you can experience is your own thought. You're looking at your thought. And so we see that what we call the world is really our thought. And we call our thought the world. Every object is our thought, and we give it a name. We all agree on the name, we all see the same objects, and we all see the same thoughts, so we call them all by the same names, always thinking they're out there, but all they are is our thought. And so we're in a state of controlled thought. For instance, you see the terminal cancer of Ewan Humphrey. That's thought. Who wants it? Well, he can't control his thought. Who's controlling it? And so we see that world thought controls individual thought. God didn't send it. God didn't create it. Where is it? It's in world thought, which transmits its thought through its own creation, which is called the human brain, and that appears as individual thought, which we think is out there, which we are merely projecting in mind. There's an image in brain called the body, and in that image is this thing called the problem. But it's all thought. And the next question comes in, well, how do we control our thought? Who wants to let thought control us? All right? The world isn't there, the forms aren't there, the defects of the forms aren't there, the problems of the forms aren't, it's all thought. But it's not my thought, it's first world thought coming through me. If it were my thought, I could change it. That's why I can't change it. It's not my, if I could just look at that terminal thing and say, hey, get out of there, because it's my thought and I control it, that'd be marvelous. But I find out I can't, and so it can't be my thought. It's the thought that is imposed upon me from a source. It's world thought. It's Antichrist, isn't it? Now then, I want to break this pattern of world thought coming through as individual thought. And if I do, I can get rid of every disease, every disaster, every discord, and so forth. Which is what the Christ did, right? Wherever the Christ met these things, they dissolved. Why? Because the Christ mind breaks world thought, and therefore individual thought is relieved from these appearances. And so, to break world thought, I must be in the Christ mind. Have ye that mind that was in Christ Jesus? So that's why Paul said it. Pretty clever. Without going into a long song and dance, he just told us something to do. And now, through all our years of study, we know that this something to do is to break world thought. And furthermore, there's no other way to break world thought. Now, I must backtrack a second. There are other ways to break world thought temporarily. You can take a needle of cocaine and shoot it into your arm, and it'll break world thought. You can take LSD and it'll break world thought. It'll break that thought and take you in another area of world thought. You can change the dream. Or you can chant until it lifts you up into a trance. Or you can do the whirling dervish dance until you forget you've got a body. But you can't whirling dervish dance forever. You've got to stop. You can't chant forever. You can't take drugs forever. You've got to stop. And when you stop, you come back to what? The flesh that is grass. In the Christ mind, what do you come back to? You don't come back. Have ye that mind? We're not interested in a temporary help. We don't even want to transform from bad to good. We want to live in the Christ mind, not in the human brain. Now that's the background of what I'd like you to work with when you get up in the morning. One was, there is no me. I'd like you to back it up with something. You are the Holy Self, right? There is no other self you can ever be. Now get to know that Holy Self. It is not a physical form. It is not in a physical form. The key word to your Holy Self at this moment is omnipresent. You are omnipresent. And unless you are omnipresent, you are not accepting the Holy Self and you are not in the Christ mind. When you have accepted yourself to be omnipresent intellectually, you are moving in the acceptance of your now reality. One of the conditions of being in the now center is omnipresent. I am now omnipresent. Omnipresent spirit I am. Please take those four words. Omnipresent spirit I am. The Christ mind knows this automatically, is this automatically. The Christ mind doesn't say this. The Christ mind is this. The ising stage is what we're after, not the saying stage. But unless you get up in the morning in that Christ mind, which is omnipresent spirit I am, there is no me, omnipresent spirit I am. Unless you're there in the morning when that foot hits the floor, you're just another mortal walking a tightrope. Senses open to the bombardment of the universe around you. poor brain reeling from sensations, pushed left and right like a doorknob. There is no me. Omnipresent spirit I am. Now, there are a lot of temptations in this world, but there's really only one. That temptation is the world. The world is the only temptation. Everything it contains is a temptation. How do you handle it? Omnipresent spirit. I am. There is no me. Now, while you are trying to handle this statement in consciousness, you're releasing yourself to something above the brain. You don't know how to handle it. That's the beauty of it. But there's something above the brain does know. And that's the Christ mind. Do you see the meaning of, have you that mind that was in Christ Jesus? If Christ Jesus had worked from a human brain, the cripple would still be crippled, the blind would still be blind. Everything that hit his brain would have been a reality to him. Every disease that he saw. But it didn't hit his brain. The Christ mind lives in its own holy self, which is the holy self of everything you're looking at. This world invisible is your holy self, because you are omnipresent spirit. Where the world appears, your holy self is. Now, the brain is not finding it easy to break its finite concepts. And so you've got to expect mental conflict and friction and, well, it's going to be as stubborn as a mule. It's going to rear its back or sit down and refuse to budge. It's going to say, wait a minute, I can't go that way. Well, go that way without the brain. You don't need it. You'll find that when you go without the brain, when decisions have to be made, they'll be made. Prepare yourself for the newness of life, and don't expect the same type of sensation that you had with the brain. The newness is really new. Be willing to undergo the strangeness of it. All that the world contains is in the brain. There's nothing else in the world. Because omnipresent spirit I am not in a physical form. How can omnipresent spirit be poured into a finite physical form? It's not enough to hear this, or even to say this. And this is part of the practice now that I wish to recommend. I may voice a few thoughts here now, and in order to structure your awareness of the holy self that you are, I recommend the following procedure. It's either a 5 or 6 part procedure depending upon how you feel about it. The first is to take the thought and contemplate it. The second is to take the thought after contemplation and meditate upon it without thought. The third is to live it that day in your daily life. The fourth is to find examples of it in the Bible so that you know that you are moving in the pattern as outlined by Scripture. You may not have to go into the Bible with your hands, but you can go into it with your awareness. If you can't find anything in your consciousness, then go into the Bible itself. But you'll find that if you can back up the principle or the thought with your Bible awareness, you'll be better off because of it. And then the fifth would be not to stop with just what we've discussed, the four steps, but to do something creative beyond that with it. Amplify the truth that you've learned. Let the Christ within show you how to apply this truth beyond your immediate awareness now. And the sixth would be, when you get into the next truth and go through the first four or five steps, to include the previous truth, to amalgamate the previous truth into the new truth you're studying, so that we just don't do a truth for a day or two and drop it and then go into another truth. But you never go into another truth without bringing the previous truth into the present truth and making them one new truth. That's quite an order, but if you do this on a consistent basis, you'll be doing that which is the normal procedure and process of the Christ mind. Now, the kernel or the fulcrum of your work is omnipresent spirit I am. That's what the Holy Self is. But because I am the omnipresent spirit, and spirit is all power, wherever my omnipresent spirit is, my omnipresent power is. Is, not will be. And because spirit is perfect, wherever my omnipresent spirit is, perfection is. And so you begin to bring into awareness that the attributes of your omnipresent spirit are everywhere present. Now, I've skipped certain steps in the amalgamation of this. We could have started out with God is omnipresent, or even spirit is omnipresent. But you would eventually would have to come to the place where you realize that I am spirit, and therefore I am omnipresent. So we're going to start that way. Of course spirit is all, and spirit is omnipresent. But I am spirit, and therefore omnipresent spirit I am, which includes everything you're to know in capsule form. And every word is important. And so wherever you're looking in this world, present there is spirit, and that spirit which is present there, I am. And because that spirit which is present there, I am, and because that spirit which is there is perfect, the imperfection that appears there is not there. The war is not there. The disease is not there. The inequality, the lack of justice, the corruption, it is not there. You're looking at an image in the brain, and that's not the Christ mind. Now continue to look at that image in the brain and realize that's where it is, in the brain. And for the image in the brain, substitute in your understanding that where the image in the brain seems to be, right there, is the omnipresent spirit that I am, which is perfect now, not corrupt, not deceitful, not lying, not killing, not an abomination. And this is the Christ mind. That isn't Judas over there. Omnipresent spirit is there, and I am where Judas appears. Oh, you can't do it in a day or a week.